Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is your host, Reverend Shannon, the Psychic Cowgirl. I want to let you know that my intention with this show is to share information, practical cowgirl wisdom, and tools to aid you on your personal development journey. I have a bachelor's degree in metaphysics. I am an ordained minister with the Canadian International Metaphysical Ministry. I'm also a hypnotherapist, past life regression therapist, and an Akashic record reading practitioner. I'm a natural-born intuitive and psychic. It is genetic. I see and feel energies and connections. I use my talents and education to help clients become more aware of their own patterns, intuition, blocks in their life, and then to tap into energies to create what is their personal dream life. I believe in divine guidance, karma, and that intentions are key to any situation. I do offer clarity and understanding from a soul level perspective when you work with me. At times, a little guidance is all that we require to step into our power and move forward in our lives. You can find out more about me on my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. I also have a Facebook page, Psychic Cowgirl, and I'm on Twitter as the Psychic Cowgirl. Please share any comments or questions through my Facebook page. I do answer the messages, or you could email me, Shannon@psychiccowgirl.com. I look forward to hearing from you all, and let's begin today's show. Hey everybody, welcome. I hope you're having a great Wednesday. I can't believe that it's already March. I was looking at my blog talk page, and it's been 3 years that I've had a show on blog talk. I've done with a couple of, you know, journeys elsewhere, but for the most part, it's been on Blog Talk. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's hard to believe it's been 3 years. I must like it. So I have a sinus thing going on today. I woke up in the night and just an excruciating kind of sinus headache. You know, it's kind of behind your nose, so if my voice sounds funny, that's why. And I know that this sinus thing will happen to me not, sometimes because I get a cold or something, but if I'm not doing enough self-care, but sometimes it will happen to me when there's energy shifts going on in the world, and I'm part of that shifting, and it always feels like that the energy has shifted, like my personal energy has shifted, and then my body has to catch up, and that's how it manifests itself in a sinus thing. I know when I was doing a lot of self-improvement and personal development, like pretty intensely, probably 3-4 years ago, and I would like walk outside and head to the energy vortexes in my pasture, and the shifting energies and my energy connected would be so intense that I would get dizzy. My husband actually had to carry me out once, just away from the vortex, because the shifting was so intense. So I don't know if that happens to any of you, but pay attention to that. How do you know when it's an energy shift and not just an illness? Well, I took some sinus stuff, this natural remedy that I really enjoy, and it did nothing. Didn't even touch it. And I'm like, all right then. So then I took some rescue remedy. Ta-da! It's a lot better. I don't have the headache anymore. It still feels kind of like heavy or a little bit full in my sinuses, but I don't have the pain. So that's how I know when it's a shifting and I just have to ride it out. Maybe go outside for a while because that usually helps. And just self-care. You know, I can never say that too much. So today's topic, see, look at everybody's energy just went heavy when I brought it up. Difficult conversations. It's tricky, isn't it? You know, we're human, so difficult conversations happen a lot, yet we don't like them. We don't always handle them gracefully. We tend to avoid them lots of times. I know I used to, and I still do sometimes. I have just figured out some tools that when I have to have a difficult conversation, I'm able to handle it in a way that I am completely comfortable with. Now, because of my sinus thing, I'm going to have to pause every once in a while and just take a break and get rid of some sinus stuff. So if there's a lull in the conversation, no, I'll be right back, like right now. Nice, right? Nice sinus stuff. I should have put on my fluorite necklace because that usually helps too, but I was busy this morning and I didn't get that done. All right, enough of my whining about my sinuses. So, difficult conversations. So like I said, I have developed some tools and a way for myself to handle it that I'll share with you because it works and because we have to have these conversations. If we don't, what happens? It can escalate into something bigger than we ever intended, and then it's even too late for a conversation, right? It's just an ending, I guess, or, you know, an ugly, ugly conversation. There's a difference between a difficult conversation and an ugly conversation. Now, so, all right, let's just go in for an example. You have to have a difficult conversation. I've had a lot in the last 6 months, 8 months. A lot of, I don't know even how to describe it. Things were no longer acceptable, and it was time for me to step up and say what I wanted to say, but in a way that wasn't controversial, because I wasn't looking for a fight. I was looking for changes. And they were valid changes, like reasonable changes. Because here's the thing with when there's difficult conversations. You really have to tune into your own energy, your own intentions, your own reasons. We can be having a bad day and start a fight with someone and call it a difficult conversation just because we're cranky. Hey, we all do it, right? That's not a difficult conversation. That's us taking our crankiness out on somebody else. Or we can have someone who we really want them to pay attention to our point of view and understand where we're coming from. And so we'll say to them, you know, well, here's how it is, and this is my truth, and you need to hear my truth. I'm only speaking my truth. That's fabulous. You should speak your truth, absolutely. But you should also check in on what your intentions are. Are your intentions of speaking your truth because you want someone else to say that you're right? Not going to work. If speaking your truth just because, you know, you've had a lot of feelings and emotions bottled up for a long time, and you're really just ready to blow? Not always the best plan ever either, right? So when this happens, okay, something will go on and you need to have a difficult conversation and you're mad and you just really want someone to listen to you. Like there's always a specific someone, right? And to, you know, change what they're doing because it's wrong and you know it's wrong and, you know, you get all worked up and you're mad and you just you kind of go in like a bull in a china shop. How often is that effective? Oh, don't get me wrong. We feel great after we've said everything and we vented and we let it all fly. But how often does that actually get a result that's healthy? Sometimes. And sometimes we have to do it. Again, it's knowing yourself and, even more key, willing to accept the consequences of whatever happens. Huge. Willing to accept the consequences. So if you have a difficult conversation and you go in like a bull in a china shop and you're yelling, you're screaming, you're, you know, very emotional, and the other person listens, kind of pats you on the head, you know, that energetic pat on the head, and then as soon as you're gone, they roll their eyes and say, oh, well, that was just an emotional person, and, you know, I don't need to listen to what they had to say. So how effective was that conversation? Not very. When it triggers you like that and you're that upset, take some breathing space. So when something really gets to me and I'm pretty upset by it, I take a couple days before I react, like before I try to have a conversation. And sometimes I'll just simply send an email saying, I need to have a conversation with you. And then I'll, you know, let it go from there, and usually there's a little more time before the conversation actually happens. It's for me to get my thoughts together, my intentions clear, to be able to say what I want to say from a very calm, cool, collected space. Because I will tell you this, from a calm, cool, collected space where you are really solid and really know what you want to say, the results you would like to have, and being open to a two-way conversation, I'm being a little bit stubborn, you know? Like sitting. So if you're, you know, talking to someone and there's a table between you and sitting across from that person, leave lots of silences, space. Nobody likes a lull in the conversation. And if you really need to get something effective across, put lots of lulls in the conversation so the other person has to say something. It makes them uncomfortable, which will make them think, which will make them, kind of energetically understand you better. Yelling and screaming can be effective, I guess, in certain situations, but in most, no. Speak calmly. Try only to roll your eyes where they can't see you. Difficult conversations, how many eye rolls happen. That's why when they're on the phone, sometimes it's easier because you can eye roll with nobody knowing. True story. So, you know, to our bus thing, because it's still a conversation. I actually phoned our new transportation guy a couple days ago. He just got the job in January, and so I gave him a couple months to, you know, kind of get situated. And then something happened with our bus yet again, and I just don't feel safety's a priority. And so I gave him a call. I was calm, cool, collected. There was a lot of pats on the head and, oh, I'm so glad you called and thank you for your information, blah, 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 which I understand that's the way they're trained to treat us parents right now, but sometimes it just irritates me because it feels fake. I mean, if you weren't psychic, you might not know that, but I do, so it does irritate me, although I will say that it's better than the alternative, right, where they fight with me for what I have to say. So anyways, I had to have this conversation again, and now I wait and see what's going to happen with it. So our bus broke down again on Thursday, and I did phone Friday, and he didn't get back to me because he was in a meeting all day. And then he phoned Monday morning, but I was busy on the phone telling my mom about my new horse that I won at an online auction for a great price. And so I didn't answer the phone right away. Now, that is key. If you have a phone call into someone and you're waiting for them to call you back, make sure that when you see the number on the phone, you're ready to have the conversation. Just because your phone rings doesn't mean you have to answer it. Make sure you're in a good space, right? I mean, after I send the kids off on the bus in the morning and then I'm doing my, you know, reset, recharge, meditation, chill out part, that's not a good time for me to have a conversation with someone. I really don't want to because I need that time to readjust, right? And sometimes it involves a phone call to my mom to catch up on how things are in her world and share mine. So again, make sure you're ready on your terms to have the conversation. So I didn't talk to him when he phoned at that point. I phoned a little bit later after I'd had a good breakfast and, you know, did some tips and tools that I do to make sure my vibration is high and that my energy is in a good place so that I can have the conversation without being emotional. Because the situation with this school bus is emotional for me because it involves my children and my friends' children. Completely emotional. I mean, how often do we all have nightmares if something happens to our kids? But I also know that approaching this from an emotional, you know, screaming, crying mom is not going to get me any results. I have another difficult conversation coming up, I think. I just sent a letter to the school yesterday saying that I chose for my grade 6 son not to do the provincial achievement test. Now, I knew doing it that our principal was going to not be happy with me about it. I'm also the parent council president, so I get to deal with all that too. But anyways, I knew also that I was going to choose the mental health of my son rather than this test that I don't feel means anything. I know when he wrote it in grade 3, he did not do well. And this is also my son who gets academic achievement awards. So it's not like he isn't, you know, good at the academics or that he doesn't know what he's doing. It's just the way this test is set up and just the way the whole thing goes down. It's too stressful. I don't even know if I told him what he did in the grade 3 one because I just didn't think it was relevant. Seriously didn't. I mean, if it is supposed to gauge how well the teachers are doing, well, then if kids are sucking at it, there should be some support for the teachers, right? How are they even determining it all? Anyways, I also have an email into our principal to get me somebody to talk to about the provincial achievement tests because I don't believe that they're effective. And so I want some more information because they were going to take them away. I know my son in grade 3 last year didn't write it. He wrote a different kind. And that, you know, he wasn't stressed about that one. I didn't even hear anything about it. There was no kids that were upset. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that. Perhaps I need to talk to our trustee. But there will be probably a few difficult conversations about that because they want us to write these tests. Like, they want our kids to write them. And I'm not. I feel strongly about this. And I love all my friends and Facebook people because I heard from a lot of you that your children, you opted out for them too. I didn't even know that was an option until this year. And so I was really happy to share that because, I mean, honestly, if your child is too stressed about it, what is that even, like, what is that statistic even doing? So I do think, if I remember correctly, but I have to verify this all, that he gets a zero, like the school gets a zero for him not writing the test, I'm good with that. Because the way I see it, they're all going to, like, whoever's looking at these statistics are going to know that the reason there's a zero is because the child didn't write the test because the parents opted out. So maybe if more people did that who feel strongly about it, maybe there'd be some action. They promised us that the tests were going to be done, but no. So I'm going to have some difficult conversations about that because, you know, unfortunately, there sure feels like there's a dividing line sometimes between school divisions and parents. it sure felt that way when I was dealing with this bus accident and all the things that happened right after. Even now, they really wish we would just shut up. I can feel that. I know that. They would like us to create havoc and stir when it suits them and when it's inconvenient for them, or they'd rather not deal with us. They wish we would just shut up. Well, it doesn't work that way. Maybe I should give them tips on having difficult conversations, too. Maybe I should send them all this radio show. Yes, I am a smart aleck. So the next part of this is when to keep your mouth shut. Because not everything that's a difficult conversation actually has to be a conversation. Because we can get carried away with that, too. We can talk too much, absolutely. Maybe that's why I have a radio show. That way I can talk all I want. Yeah, I'm kidding. Not really. I do like to talk a lot. So what happens when, or how do you know, I guess, when it's time to keep your mouth shut? Well, here's my tip. If you're not willing to open the door fully and step all the way through, which means accepting all the consequences, don't do it. If you feel strongly that you're not willing to accept the consequences of having that conversation, don't do it. I mean, the flip side of this, of course, is lots of people won't have the conversation. They may feel strongly about something that's going on in their world. Like, let's use the school example because, you know, a lot of parents feel strongly about a lot of things in their schools. But they don't want to say anything because they don't want to disrupt anything. They don't want to be that mom. You know, there's lots of chaos in our world, and it's in the schools too. Lots of things, the way they were doing things, are going to have to change because it's simply not working. And because of all this chaos and upheaval, and really it's occurring so that things can be done differently, that are more effective, maybe kids need more boundaries, things like that. And so because of all the chaos, and we, in my our school, it's a small school, so we all know about everything that's happening, right? It's amazing to me in the last 2 months how many of my friends, and myself included, have said, we don't want to be that mom, so we've kept our mouth shut on some things. This is not a bad thing, right? When you're aware that you don't want to open that door because you don't want to be that mom, and you feel, for whatever reason, maybe you feel that the school has enough going on, or maybe you do trust that it'll work itself out. But I know when they're all saying, we don't want to be that mom, that we're all making a conscious choice to keep our mouth shut on something. And we're also waiting, right? Because when it gets to a certain point, we don't keep our mouth shut. I happen to be really good at rallying people when it's important. I'm also really good at talking people out of things when it's not as important. When in the big scheme of things, it's not going to help them to have a difficult conversation or open their mouth, because sometimes it's just not. But if you bide your time and wait, lots of times it works itself out, or it becomes really, really obvious that it's time for that conversation and you're in a good space to do it. You know, I say this all the time, you have to figure out yourself. You really have to figure out yourself. Now, if you have someone in your life, and I share this all the time, but it's good to remind you, who's just really irritating you, like seriously kind of pissing you off. Maybe there's some jealousy, maybe they're having, you know, some things go on in their world and they don't want to handle it, so distract themselves, they're being kind of rude to you. Do the Buddhist prayer of kindness to help negate the energy. It will not change them, but it will absolutely change the way you react. And that is priceless. And it's simple. This is how it goes. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live life with ease. And just keep repeating it as kind of a mantra when you think of that person. so incredibly effective. And it just takes all that bristliness out of it so that you're not reacting. Another great tip for having a difficult conversation is ask your ego to stay in the truck. I usually use horse trailer because I like horse trailer. And actually, I've done this so much that now I don't even have to say, ego, go away. It just automatically happens. So I would say, ego, go wait in the horse trailer, and then I would have the conversation I wanted to have. And when your ego is not, you know, full force, because our ego is a protection. Our ego is not a bad thing. Kind of gets a bad rap sometimes, but it's not. There's a purpose for it. It wants to protect us because we become, you know, this society where we're a little bit paranoid sometimes. We're worried about getting hurt. We're worried about being foolish, all these things. So our ego tries to protect us from that. But at the same time, it can kind of stop us from doing things that, you know, would be beneficial to us. So you have to navigate that. So send your ego to the truck, to the car, to the shed, you know, whatever place sounds good for you, and it's only temporary. You don't send your ego away all the time. I'm sorry about my sniffling, my sinus thing. And so send your ego away, and then when you go to have the conversation with whoever you are having it with, because your ego is not there full force at the front, their ego has nothing to react to. Pretty cool, right? And so you both end up having this conversation from a pretty peaceful place, and it works. It just works. I had to have a difficult conversation just, oh my goodness, that was only last week, because I was chairing a meeting and it didn't go well. As far as I was concerned, I didn't like some of the comments. I didn't like some of the attitude because someone in the meeting was not happy and they were a bit cranky. And, you know, I chose, awarely, consciously, to be respectful and not say anything during the meeting because I did not want to start any more of a fight than what was going on. And I didn't want people leaving because I needed them for a certain thing later, like in the next part of the meeting. But what I did is because, you know, I talked to people, I heard after from a few people that the whole thing made them quite uncomfortable. Not everybody, but enough that I realized that it would be a good idea to have a conversation. So I did go to the person that kind of created a lot of the havoc, and I just had a really calm, cool, collected conversation saying, look, I didn't like the way that went. As far as I'm concerned, that did not go well. But here's a strategy I have in mind to make it better. Here's what we can do so this does not happen again. Now, that's not going in there and accusing anybody of anything. And it was a difficult conversation. But I went in with a solution. That is key to a difficult conversation. How would you like that solved? Now, even if the person you're talking to does not take your idea on how you want it solved, the very fact that you took the time, the energy, and the thought process to come up with a solution shows that you are results-oriented, you want a solution, you're not in there just to have a fight and say, don't ever do that again. Because nobody likes to hear that, right? So if you have a solution, or you say, you know what, how can we make this better? What are your ideas? Have a conversation instead of being accusing and saying, never do that again. I mean, even with our kids, don't do that again isn't always as effective as, you know, saying, how can we make this better? Although, sometimes just don't do that again is very effective now that I think about my children. But anyways, most of this that I'm dealing with is adults. It's adults in difficult conversation. Children's a whole other topic. And I'm far from an expert, so I'm not even going to go there. All right. So I'm going to take another little pause just for like 30 seconds. I'll be right back. All right. So back to difficult conversations. I would love to hear some of your tips on how you handle difficult conversations. Please engage with me on my Facebook page, which is Psychic Cowgirl. I do know in my business, when I'm doing soul sessions with people, a lot of times it's how to deal with other people. It's the communication thing, right? I mean, we're in constant communication. We get information all the time, and sorting through what fits for us and what doesn't can be a definite challenge. It can be overwhelming. It can get to be too much. And we all like, reading the stories of someone who took a stand and got something done. And, you know, we have to pick our platforms. We have to pick our soapbox. Like I said to the director of transportation, I said, you know, these certain things are still happening. I said, but that's between you and the contractor and the bus driver. I can't fight every fight, but I will fight for the safety. I said, I feel that's important, and I will fight on that one. I also told him, I'm pretty sure I'm not on your guys' Christmas card list. He didn't laugh. Probably because it's true. I tend to be a little squeaky on this situation, you know, because we're a small community, and so sometimes they just ignore us. Because population-wise, even if we're all squeaking, it's not that many people, right? And unfortunately, that is the way of our world. The bigger the group, you know what? The louder it can be. All right. So, to recap difficult conversations, you want to be really, really clear on what it is you're trying to accomplish. What is your intention? Why do you feel a difficult conversation is necessary? And there's always that possibility, and it has happened to me, where I went to have a difficult conversation and it turned out to be not difficult at all. It was really good. And you left feeling like you accomplished something and that you guys were on the same team and it cleared the air in a really good way. So that's absolutely fantastic now, isn't it? But you sometimes don't know that until you actually have the conversation. So be really clear on your intention. What is it that you wish to accomplish with this conversation? Be clear. And never make it just about you being right. Perception, right? What you may think is right may not be what somebody else thinks is right. So compromise sometimes has to happen. Be willing to step all the way through the door if you're opening it. I mean, there's some things that I'm dealing with or involved in, and I don't love it. I'm not delighted. But I'm not going to try to change it because I don't have the time nor the energy, right? You have to pick and choose. Pick and choose. And so what I do with that, instead of, you know, whining and complaining and being frustrated with it, I try to change the way I'm looking at it. And to do that, I try to look at it from someone else's perspective. Because really, everybody's just trying to do the best they can. And even if some people are not in alignment with the way you think or feel, and they can rub you the wrong way, they're still trying to do the best they can, right? The bottom line, you probably have the same goal, just different approaches. And maybe you just need to shut up and give them a chance. Vent to someone you trust about how frustrating you find it, but otherwise shut up and give them a chance. Right? We can get so caught up in the pattern of always complaining, always wishing something was different, instead of taking a breath, shaking up our perceptions and trying to look at it differently. Try to look at it from their point of view. And if you absolutely can't, perhaps you could ask them. So explain to me, like, how you're doing this or why you're thinking about this. You could be totally surprised and delighted. It also gives you an opportunity to know somebody a little bit better. We're in this busy world. Isn't that the word we all use? Because really, there's no other word. Life has sped up. Busy, 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 busy. Even on days that you don't have it jam-packed, it's still busy, busy, busy. I'm not sure what the energy is, but it's definitely there. We're all busy. We're all, like, stuff. It's constant, 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 which is why I always, you know, preach about the self-care. Yes, that's coming from Reverend Shannon, self-care, self-care, self-care. But here's the thing. We're not the only ones. Everybody else is. So if you have someone that you find it a bit difficult with, maybe you could have a coffee with them and find out what's going on. Maybe you could practice a little kindness. See where they're coming from. It might give you a completely different perspective and change everything. Here's the thing. Isn't it worth a shot? Isn't it worth trying? Practicing some kindness and giving someone some unexpected kindness could change their whole day and perspective. That would be pretty fabulous now, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it feel great if someone did that for you? You know, someone that you're maybe not in alignment with who kind of rubs you the wrong way, and they did some act of random act of kindness, it would change the way you felt about them, wouldn't it? It would give you a fresh perspective, because we do get stuck in patterns. We get stuck in patterns of behavior, patterns of being, patterns of seeing the world. And until we can implode and shake those up, personal development can get stuck. This whole spirituality movement, isn't that basically bottom line? All of us trying to be better versions of ourselves. All of us trying to figure out what this version of ourselves are. Like, who are we? What do we stand for? What's going on? What makes us happy? What makes us sad? That's the deal, trying to figure it out. And it's far from simple. Because it's complicated. Things can change in a second. What you think is true right now could change in the next 10 minutes. I find that pretty cool. Our world is evolving, changing, shifting very rapidly right now. And we can try to catch up or try to figure it out, or we can resist and get cranky. It's our choice. But know this, everybody is in the same energy. Everybody. So those people you find difficult, they're trying to figure it out too. Practice kindness. That doesn't mean you have to let them get away with stuff if they're being inappropriate. No. If you feel strongly enough that you want to say something, do it. What if exactly what you say to them is what they needed to hear to change their own perspective? I'm not going to say it's easy because it's tricky, right? Knowing when to keep your mouth shut, when to open your mouth. That's why it's key to know yourself, right? I do know. In business, I know what I stand for. I know what I don't stand for. I get offers all the time. I've had, you know, production companies. I've had online, oh, join us. Oh, I'd really like to hook up with you. Oh, can I come be a guest on your radio show? Oh, please join our blog. Oh, please do this with us. Blah, blah, blah. And some of it's probably really great offers, but at this point that I'm at right now, I need to be solo with this business. I know that. I understand that. And that's where I'm sticking. Maybe I'll miss out on an absolutely great opportunity, but right now I know this is what I need to do because I have enough going on and enough that I want to accomplish. And I'm working towards it, that adding any of those other things in a group kind of effort is not going to work for me right now. It's just not. Sometimes I don't play well with others. I know, weird, right? I've often said to my husband over the last few years, I can understand why I have my own business. Because sometimes I just find it easier. You know, when things happen to my friends and workplaces. And you know what? don't get me wrong, I think you're all amazing, and not everybody is cut out to be solo and in the position that I am, but it works for me, and I do know that. I also know that it's a cycle. I know that within the next 2 years, I will be doing some collaborations and group things. I know what's coming because I'm psychic and it's awesome. And so everything that's right and true for me right now is not going to be within the next 2 years. That is kind of exciting and a little bit scary. And I'm sure some of you are in the same energy, right? Things feel like they're rapidly changing, like there's forks in the road, crossroads, all these sorts of things that you know energetically and intuitively things are going to change and end up being better. But until you get to that space where they're changed and better, it's so uncomfortable. Have faith. Trust. What I tell myself all the time, and because I'm in this energy, that's when I see 111, 222, I'm seeing that constantly. I'm getting so many signs from the universe over the last few months because I do know what's coming, and I'm not ready to share it yet because I'm still working out the kinks and the details. And I do know with all the signs and symbols that I'm getting that I'm supported. Huge. Faith is huge. So, I'm getting down to the last 15 minutes. So, I think I'm going to do the chakra cleanse right now. And then I will come back after and give you a little heads up on some things that are going on in my world. I am having a special right now if you are interested in having a reading with me, an Akashic Record reading, past life regression, or a soul session. All those are 120 right now. Send me an email, though, because since I got my website redone, I haven't had the time. I know it's been a year, but I haven't had as much time to go through it and figure it all out, so I haven't been able to go and, you know, put sales on and stuff. Maybe I'll get time to do that soon. I don't know. Again, picking and choosing your priorities, that's key. Key. So I will throw on the chakra cleanse, and I'll talk to you all right after.
This is a meditation to balance and cleanse our chakras. I'd like you to sit up straight, have your feet flat on the floor, nothing crossed. Give yourself a nice breath in and out. I would like you to visualize or imagine deep, thick roots growing out the bottom of your feet, deep, deep into Mother Earth. Feel yourself grounding and connecting with Mother Earth with those deep, thick roots. Nice breath in and out. Now, imagine or visualize a white ball of energy coming up from each of those roots into the bottom of your feet. Visualize or imagine those balls of light traveling up your leg. You may feel a warm, tingling sensation. Move those balls of light up your leg, through your shin, past your knees, up your thighs, higher, higher. And then both balls of white light are going to join together at your root chakra, at your pelvis. Your root chakra deals with feelings and energies of having the right to be here. The root chakra is symbolized as red. I want you to imagine or visualize a red ball. Symbolism is personal, but I want you to have something that you're focusing on. So if it's a red ball, I want you to start spinning it until it's bright, shiny, shiny red. Right now, it may look cloudy or dirty. It may be really big or it may be really small. I want you to spin this ball of energy until it's shiny, bright, sparkly red. spinning. The root chakra deals with energies of money, career, home, needs, and possessions. So it's really important to have this one balanced. I want you to spin it until it's bright and shiny. If you are having trouble visualizing or imagining, Archangel Raphael will be there to help you. Archangel Raphael is also going to vacuum away all the cruddy energy that comes off your chakras. So spinning. We like to give this one a really good cleanse. Spin it just a smidge more. Fantastic. You are doing great. Okay, now this one is all shiny clean and it's in your body. Again, there's no way to do this wrong. Now, I want you to move up to your sacral chakra, which is located midway between your pelvis and the base of your spine. This one's an orange ball of light. I want you to spin that one. This is where we have our feelings and emotions. Let's spin that one until it's bright, shiny orange. This is where we are able to set boundaries when we have this one balanced. Feeling joy. Let's really spin that one and give it a nice big cleanse. Spinning. For all of us that have trouble saying no at times, you can feel why it would be important to have this one balanced. Excellent. Give it a few more spins until it's bright, shiny orange. You guys are doing fabulous. Okay, now that one feels good, move up again to our solar plexus chakra. This one is the yellow one. This one is where we can make choices. We set our intentions through this one and have our will to do things. It involves self-direction, self-esteem, and the power of transformation. So let's spin this yellow light until it's bright, shiny, and sparkly clean. Spinning. Nice. Focus on spinning that one a little more. Perfect. I can feel all the energies flying off to be vacuumed away. We're going to feel so good after this. All right, so now that one's all shiny, let's move up to our heart chakra. This one's green. This one deals with love, and I give, I care, forgiveness, generosity. So let's spin this heart chakra until it's shiny, green, and infused with sparkles. We want to have a pretty heart chakra. And spinning. Fabulous. Let's keep spinning that one. You're doing great. Spin it some more. Feels like everybody's is nice and sparkly, shiny. Okay, great. Now, if that one's back in place, let's move up to our throat chakra. This one is blue. We're going to spin that ball of light energy until it's shiny. This is the one where we have expression, where we listen, where we can communicate. It's all about using our voice. So let's spin this one. We can communicate clearly. Spinning. Fantastic. If you find that your throat chakra feels out of balance often, grab a sodalite or a lapis lazuli. Those stones will really help with that. I wear them when doing the radio show. It's really, really helpful. Okay, let's spin that one just a little bit more. You're doing fantastic. Okay, now that one's all clean, let's move up to our third eye chakra located in our foreheads. This one has to do with telepathy, intuition, imagination, visualizing, all that good stuff that you've been doing. So this one is the darker purple color, And we're going to spin it until it's very sparkly. Nice. Keep spinning. Our intuition's located here, so we like to have this one clean so we can get our messages right. Keep spinning. Excellent. Spinning, spinning. Perfect. Kate, now that it's nice and shiny, clean, deep, deep purple. I see a lot of yours as deep, deep purple. Beautiful. Okay, let's move up to our crown chakra located at the top of our head. Now, this one is a pale violet, or you might see it as clear. We're going to spin that ball of light until it's bright, shiny, clean, and sparkly. This is where our psychic and intuitive abilities can be found. Our faith, our connection to the divine, ability to trust life, values, ethics, courage. Lots of stuff happened in this crown chakra. So let's spin that one until it's really, really clean. Excellent. Great, you guys have been working on this. This one was pretty clean. Okay, so let's put that one where it's supposed to go. And remember, there's no way to do this wrong. Just the act of listening to my voice and doing this exercise will create the energies and it will happen. It's as simple as that. Let's visualize or imagine that ball of light again, just right above your head. And then you're going to move it down through your face, down through your neck, down through your chest, down through your pelvis. That ball of light's gonna break into two, and each ball of light is gonna go down your thighs, past your knees. You're gonna feel refreshed, able to focus. You're gonna have a lot of clarity after this meditation. Continue sending that ball of light through past your knees, down your shin, and out the bottoms of your feet, and ground you deep, deep, deep into Mother Earth. And then you can bring your awareness back to the room, back to your body. Meditation is about doing what feels natural to you. You're letting the energy do the work. It takes a little trust, takes a little faith. But if you practice it, you can come back to this meditation anytime and replay it. Have an excellent day.
Hey, everybody. I like that meditation. It just makes me feel better. It's like an energy reset, an energy clearing. Fabulous. And remember that anytime you want to do this meditation again, maybe you end up having a rough day and you just want to clear the energies. I know some people have trouble sleeping have done this. Just go, you know, to the last, say, 15 minutes of every show and you'll find this chakra cleanse meditation. Absolutely fabulous. All right then. Well, thank you all for listening. And I'm going to go try to work through the energy of my sinus weirdness. And so I wish you all a fabulous rest of this Wednesday. And I look forward to chatting with you next week. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with your host, myself, Shannon Lackman. If you'd like to learn more about me and what I offer, please go to my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. All my sessions and services are listed there. If you would like to get a deal, tell me that you've listened to the radio show and use the code word, Raphael, and you will automatically get 20% off because I will know that you've been listening to the radio show. I wish you all a most excellent day, and I hope you tune in soon.